This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast covering Ipswich Town since 2015. I'm Richard Woodard and you are tuned into an interview special with, in ascending order of importance and significance, I'll say, ITFC Women's Media Officer, Kieran Stanley. But the main event, sponsored by Blue Monday for the 2021-22 season, easy for me to say, ITFC Women's Midfielder, Set Piece Wizards, Abby Lafayette. Abby, how are you? Good to meet you.
Yeah, I'm good. Great, good to be on the show. Thank you very much.
And Kieran, doing all right? You're a frequent flyer now and here, aren't you?
I know, yeah. I have to get a loyalty card soon, won't I?
Loyalty card, we'll give you a mug or something. Yeah. Abby, firstly, great to have you on. Obviously, we mentioned the sponsorship there. On behalf of the podcast team and all of the people watching, we're so proud that what the women's team doing, what you're doing. We'll talk about Southampton in a minute, because that was super exciting. And obviously a massive part in the goals was your excellent set piece delivery, which we've already mentioned. But first off, you missed the game on Sunday, a little bit of a knockoff to Southampton. Tell us about that and when you're hoping to be back.
Yeah. So it happened in training, actually, training session just after the Southampton game. Nothing too much, but yeah, just taking precautions. I'll be out for a few weeks, but nothing too long, hopefully.
Just couldn't get that injury to go into the kind of Christmas break and New Year break, but never mind.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping for anyway.
Never mind.
I have no control.
So let's talk about you and your career. Just get all of our listeners and subscribers into the know about how you've ended up at Ipswich and all that kind of stuff. First off, signed the pro deal in the summer along with the fifth member of the team. We might hear or see from Sophie Pescott, who might be lurking around somewhere, who we've obviously spoken to there, but you were number five. It must be an exciting time to be part of that and show the kind of progression that the team's made in the last few years whilst you've been at the club.
Yeah, definitely. I think to be one of the first five as well was great, but even like he only offered out a few contracts, and to be in one of those contracts is great. But yeah, I just think it shows how much we are committing to this season and how much we are trying to push for that promotion.
Yeah, 100%. And your career started at Garston Ladies, which that's the kind of neck of the woods where you're from, kind of Hertfordshire area. Yeah. Tell us how you ended up in sunny Suffolk, because it's a bit of a trek. It's not too far, but yeah, tell us.
Yeah. So I was playing for Bedfordshire ACC, and then obviously there was regional camps held at the training ground. So a couple of us, I know Anna as well, came through Cambridge ACC. So we were at the regional camps, and then there was a game and Joe asked us if we wanted to play in it, and then it kind of came from there. My dad was more involved than me. He just told me one day that, you know, you're going training on Thursday or whenever it was, you have training. I was like, oh, okay, so we're travelling up to Ipswich, and then, yeah, here I am.
Brilliant. Sound really quick. So is your dad kind of the kind of mastermind? Is he kind of your agent at the moment, or
I mean, advisor? He tries to be, but I mean, he only gets strip feeds of information. But yeah, mainly comes from myself.
Cool. And Kieran, it's for those not really who are in the know about the women's team, kind of Abby's situation is not unique. There's a lot of players who are, you know, obviously we know about Natasha and EK who are big Ipswich Town fans, but a lot of the team actually is from further afield than that, isn't it? It's really important that that recruitment considers more than just Ipswich and Suffolk, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think Joe's always preached that we want to be the kind of like the dominant team in the East region of the country and also try and reach out beyond that as well. And I think the fact that we can go out into Cambridgeshire, Bedfordshire, Hertfordshire, as well as Essex, Suffolk and Norfolk, I think is massive. And obviously that's enabled us to get a player like Abby. It feels weird saying Abby.
I was about to say, yeah.
Okay, what do we need to call you, Abby?
Laffy.
Am I okay to call you Laffy?
Yeah, of course.
Cool, thank you. You can call me Rich.
It just feels weird. So we've obviously been able to get someone like Laffy from Hertfordshire and, as she said, the Bedfordshire ACC. So it just shows the reach we've got, and that will keep growing and growing, and ultimately that net will grow even bigger, and the catchment area will be wider, and we'll start attracting a lot more players from further afield. But it's a massive commitment for players to come from that far away, and it just shows how much of an attractive proposition we are.
And have you found it, Abby? Laffy.
Sorry.
It's in there now. It's a far from home. I guess it helps having a decent housemate. Is she a decent housemate?
She wants to be.
Okay. Yeah. Washing up needs to get done, all that kind of stuff, yeah. Do you take turns doing the cooking and all that kind of stuff? Or
she can't
delivery?
Cook. Oh, okay, no, fine. She can't cook. I mean, no. She tries, bless her. She does try, but I'll do all the cooking. I don't mind.
Good stuff.
As long as she does the washing up.
There you go. That's the compromise. Yeah. That's what it's about.
Exactly.
And tell us about the academy program as well, and what's that? Because I don't know whether how long that's normally for a spell there. But you were in the first team pretty much a year later. So is that a quick progression, or is that kind of standard?
I'll definitely say it was a quick progression through the academy. It's usually standard about 2 years we do in the academy, and then let's go further up. Some might do a third year in the academy, or sign on academy and first team. I would say I was definitely one of the early ones, quite with some of the others, like Peskett. She was first year academy playing up in the first team, where I was second year and a couple of the other girls were. So yeah, I'd definitely say we progressed through that quite quickly.
And it must be really great now, you know, 2-3 years on from that, that the first team kind of feels like, you know, we've obviously made some really important signings in the summer. But a lot of the team is coming through the academy and will have come through together. So you all know each other and have that, you know, familiar with each other, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're a team that's quite close with each other, because a couple of the girls that come from Essex, they've been playing with each other for years. And then I knew Anna before coming into Ipswich as well. So we all kind of knew it of each other or about each other. And then, yeah, like you said, we've been playing each other for quite a few years now through the academy and up to first team. So, yeah, we know each other quite well.
And you can tell, and obviously brought up in the right way as well, Kieran, that style of play that, you know, we see it every week now at the Goldstone, in spite of wobbly, wet pitches, that the women's team, the girls are playing excellent passing football, and that's part of the mantra, presumably.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joe likes to play an open and expansive brand of football. He wants to play entertaining front foot football. He's always been like that. We've never been a team that's going to play negatively. And that's come through from the academy too. And I think, as Laffy said, the familiarity and the continuity, the consistency of so many players within the team having played together for so long. And as you said, Rich, you can tell that. You can tell that they're almost like a mind meld a lot of the times. A player knows what their teammate's going to do before they've even done it. And I think that can only benefit the team going forward. And I think that's a great story. Essentially, you know, with this journey that we're on now, this team that have been together since their early teens, going back to like RTCs and academy and whatnot, to reach the elite divisions of women's football, having played together for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, would be what a magnificent story that would be.
Yeah, and still so young as well, and the progression there, it feels like, you know, it could be as far as we could go. Is it the championship, you know, the WSL even potentially? This is the kind of strategy, this is the aim at the moment. And, you know, we have to say, Laffy, you're still 19, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, yeah, such a young age as well. So all that potential and stuff like that bodes really well for the future. Talk about the past very quickly. Tell us about your debut, because, Cambridge away, and a memorable moment for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was quite unexpected, to be fair. Like, I didn't really think about much of the first team or when I was going to get into the first team or play my first game for it. Like, obviously, Charlotte Kellett was playing then. I was quite close with her in the academy and stuff. So that was good that she was there and, you know, like, kind of helped me into the first team. And then, yeah, it was just a normal game. I didn't really know what to expect. Didn't know if we were going to win. Didn't know what Cambridge were like. Just kind of had to get into the game, not expecting anything. And then, luckily, I scored the winner in the, I don't know, last few minutes of the game or something. So couldn't really ask for a better debut, to be fair.
Ah, what dreams are made of. That is brilliant. Yeah. And then established yourself in the team, the kind of the season after. And that's, we need to talk about the FA Cup. Obviously, FA Cup come up at the weekend and we'll get your thoughts on that. But that historic cup run, tell us about that.
I just think the whole experience was great for us as well. Like, you had Big Z scoring a hat-trick against Huddersfield, who's only 16. But like, even just the overnight stays where some of us are so young, like, we hadn't experienced things like that yet. Just the whole day around travelling up to Huddersfield and the hotels and then travelling back down, it just felt very professional, even though we were still so young. So, yeah, it was a great experience for all of us.
And Kieran, that kind of experience is what is great now, because that's the hope, is that becomes more frequent in the future, isn't it? Every other week, it should feel like that. That's the hope, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've had a few more experiences like that since then. Obviously, we'd love another experience in the FA Cup to mirror that. But yeah, it was a great time for all of us. And it was, I suppose, right at the start of this journey that we're on at the minute. And a lot's happened since then. But it's something that I'll never forget. I think that Huddersfield game is probably up there as one of my career highlights in terms of the best days that I've had since I've been in the job. And yeah, it was a phenomenal experience, that cup run. And there was just a fearlessness about the team. I mean, going in to play Man City, best team in the world probably at that current time, and just went there and thought, okay, we've got a job to do. There was no real nerves. And I think Laffey left one on Georgia Stanway in the first half. And I think that just proves it all. Like, no one was overawed by the occasion. And then ultimately the result went against us. But I don't think anyone could come away from that game without a load of credit for the way that we conducted ourselves throughout that whole process, but also the way it concluded too.
Yeah, must give confidence. I was going to ask, it maybe not be Georgia Stanway, but any players in that City team that you aspire to be or you look up to, Duffy?
I don't know. It's a hard question because I wouldn't really say I look up to anyone. As bad as it sounds, I wouldn't really say, I don't know.
Be your own person. That's fine.
It's good. Obviously, there's a few players like George Stanway, who was entered into the Man City team quite young and then has played up at a high standard early on in her career. So I guess that's something, you know, that I would love to do. But even now, I'm playing at a decent level for my age, and we're on a journey somewhere to go. So, yeah, but I wouldn't say anyone really in particular. But, yeah, Steph has been around for years as well, and playing against her and all her experience she has as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Did you get to chat to any of them after the match?
Not really. No. Didn't really speak to them.
Shake hands and yeah.
Yeah.
Some people did, to be fair. I think it was just personal preference whether you wanted to talk to them or not. I mean,
yeah. It's a bit of a weird one because you're still kind of like professional and as in, you know, I know it was a disappointing scoreline at the end of it, and you kind of, that must have been a bit disappointing, but also you want to, if you put them on a pedestal, then it kind of is a bit weird, isn't it? So I kind of understand where you were coming from there. That does make sense. And I do have to ask, and I've got kind of 10 minutes in and I've not done this yet, and it's really important for us to understand this. What do you think your best position is, Laffey? Because in the squad roster, you're kind of listed as a midfielder. I've seen you this season largely on the left-hand side, maybe as a fullback or wingback. What would you suggest your best position is? No offence to Joe, who obviously uses you in absolutely the perfect way. But what would you say?
That's a really good question, because I would have said midfield, no doubt. But like, the girls ask me all the time, like, what do you prefer? Or like, they always go, like, I know you love left back or fullback. Like, I can just tell you do. I don't know. It's a really hard question because I'm a midfielder at heart, no doubt. Like, I love being in midfield, but I enjoy playing wing back at the minute and left back. I don't know. I feel like it depends on the game because I love getting stuck in, and I feel like in midfield you can do that and like breaking up play, things like that. But I honestly don't have an answer.
That's good. No. So are you left footed or are you both?
Yeah,
left-footed?
I am.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm both, I like to say, but no one believes me. But
you need both of them to walk and run. So that's fine. Also, talk to us about your, you know, we'll talk about this now. I was going to kind of go in season order, but I'm going to move this, evolve the agenda as we go. Your set pieces delivery, obviously it's you versus kind of you and Paige doing the kind of paper, scissors, stone to decide. Yeah. Who takes them. But obviously Southampton, it was you taking free kicks in and around the area. Talk to us about that and kind of how much time you put in practicing that and trying to hone that skill, because it's a really big weapon for the team, isn't it?
So I've never seen myself as like a set piece taker, corners, free kicks, nothing. And it kind of came about during pre-season and stuff because I was left-footed. It offers a different angle and a different ball into the box. So I kind of just started practicing them, like nothing too serious. And then I was like, oh, like maybe I could. And then I think towards the beginning of the season, it started from corners and stuff. And then I think Paige wanted to switch up a little bit, not always taking free kicks, wanted to offer her threat somewhere else. And then, yeah, kind of started taking free kicks from there and then start practicing them sometimes in training with a couple of the defenders attacking them as well. So, yeah.
It's a deadly weapon, as it proved, Kieran, against Southampton. Is the buzz still around the camp after that? I mean, you could tell on Sunday against Crawley that there was some confidence that kind of led from that. But, yeah, we'll talk about Southampton now. Kieran, tell us how you kind of, your reaction post-match.
Well, first, I want to start with a story actually linking from Laffey's assist for the first goal. So it was, 5 minutes before half-time, and we win the free kick. Laffey steps over the ball, and Joe turned round to us on the bench. We were all stood up, and he goes, right, everyone listen, we're going to score here. I've got a feeling. We are going to score here. He goes, everyone get ready to celebrate. So literally, Laffey clips it in. Tash nods it past the goalkeeper, and it was just like, oh, that was a ridiculous premonition. But also, it also shows how confident we are, not only in the delivery, but also in the players attacking the ball in the middle. And there are very few players at this level in particular that are as good as Tash in the air. And for someone like Laffey, when the delivery is right and you've got someone with that aerial threat in the middle, you go into the same place every time. So yeah, it was a great goal, great premonition from Joe. I'm sure he'll be taking the credit for that. But also to score at that crucial time as well, just before half time, knocked the stuffing out of them. And you can see Southampton going down the tunnel, frustrated, losing their heads a little bit. And I think that kind of set us on our way to getting the win that day, not only from what happened in terms of the goal, but also a psychological perspective.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Yeah, and we'd been talking about it on the podcast, and everyone seems to be talking about it as, you know, you take the point, and we spoke about it, didn't we? You know, you maybe go away, take the point, but to go and get that victory must have to give you massive confidence, not only for the rest of the season, but for that return game on home soil. I know that if the League Cup tie was disappointing, but that was really tight. But it sets the season up really well, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think we definitely wanted to do well in the cup, but the league's the most important and we know that. So to get a result in the league is the one that matters. We were going there to win. We weren't going there to do anything else but to get the 3 points. And I think we felt that in the team, like we felt the hunger and the aura around it that we wanted to win. And yeah, like Kieran was saying with that free kick, when I was walking over to take it, I felt something that we were going to score from it. I knew in myself it was going to be a good free kick and someone was going to get on the end of it.
Brilliant. I love that.
Yeah.
There seemed to be, Laffy can probably testify to this, there seemed to be a really good vibe on the coach in the hotel. Yeah. Everyone was a lot more relaxed than normal. And I'm not saying that we're never relaxed in a hotel or anything like that, but there seemed to be a real good feel-good factor, a real sort of confidence, a good vibe around everyone. And I think everyone genuinely was just like, you know what, we're here to do a job, we're going to do that job, and we're going to come away with the 3 points. And ultimately, that's what we did.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Definitely. I wouldn't say like it was something we were constantly like, oh my God, like we have Southampton late, because we knew it was going to be a massive game. It was almost our minds were elsewhere, but in a way that it wouldn't take over our minds. That we didn't want to constantly be thinking about our opponents, because sometimes it could be overwhelming for some players. So I think we managed that really well, not letting it overtake our minds, and but still realising that that's what we're here to do, is to get the 3 points.
Yeah, you've mentioned him, Kieran. Laffy, tell us about is it the gaffer? Is it Joe? Is it Boss? Tell us about what it's like playing on Joe's team.
Yeah, so we just call him Joe. Nothing too special. Joe. I don't know. So I've been playing under him a couple of years now. I think he's definitely helped me, because I was come from a grassroots team into Ipswich, which is nothing like grassroots team. I think he understands his players well. Like he understands, like he trusts us as well. He definitely, I would say he trusts me as a player. He knows my ability. He knows what I'm capable of. So when I do need the extra push, or if I'm not performing well, he will tell me. Which I think it's always good to have a coach like that. He's not scared to tell you when you're doing wrong or you can do better, or even when you're doing well. It's nice to hear sometimes.
How do you find dealing with him, Kieran, on kind of on outside the matches and that kind of stuff? Has he got like, is there like a strategy and a like a chalkboard or a whiteboard with a 3-year, 5-year plan? Is he one of those kind of people?
He loves a voice note, and he loves a phone call. We speak every day, because not only am I involved in media, but a lot of ops and stuff like that as well. So Joe and I have to speak quite a lot, but he's great to work with. He's ever enthusiastic. He's always, the amount of times, I can't begin to tell you the amount of times I've had a voice note or a call from him where he's just been excited about something, where he's just rang me out of the blue to tell me something. And then that'd be like, he's like, all right then, mates, cheers, see you later. So that's the kind of person he is. He's very enthusiastic, very passionate about what he does, very thorough. He preaches attention to detail a lot. And I think he's, obviously, you know, I think as a member of staff, you put yourself in the player's shoes and think, I'd like to play for someone like that. And I can see why the squad like playing for him, and I can see how he gets the best out of the squad. But yeah, he's a great manager, and he's still so young as well. I mean, it was his birthday on Friday, just turned 33, and in management terms, that's a baby.
Oh, that's depressing.
I think,
what have I done? Nothing.
A long, long career ahead of him in the game, and hopefully that's with Ipswich Town.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And it's not just, we need to say, it's not just Joe as well. Obviously, it's a big team down there. Laffy, who are the other kind of people that you rely on and work with and who've, you know, have helped you out?
Yeah, I definitely think everyone is a part, especially for the academy and first year and first team. Paige was pretty much one of the only female staff we had. So she was kind of like one that we went to if we didn't feel not comfortable, but we just felt we could talk to a female about it instead, like they'd understand more. But even now, Paige is only in a couple times a week. We have Nikki, which is our S&C coach, and we all get along really well with her. So again, it's nice to have someone we feel like we can talk to, not about football things as well, like if there's anything else. So yeah, it's definitely great having other females in the staff as well. And Charlie, you know, he's come in, he's obviously got all the experience, loves to mention Birmingham. There won't be a day where he doesn't mention Birmingham, honestly. But yeah, no, honestly, he's great as well. He offers something different to Joe, which is always great.
I think about, that in management, sometimes you get the kind of good cop, bad cop situation. Yeah. I think Charlie's definitely the one that if something's not right, he will be the one to address it.
Yeah.
I think that comes from obviously having been at that top level in the WSL for so long and working in those elite environments with elite players and a lot more pressure on it. So I think he's got his standards and he isn't afraid to chip in if he feels like something isn't right. And I think that's been a real benefit because, you know, someone that's been there and done it, I think is a good asset to have, especially when we're trying to reach that level. So, but Charlie's a great bloke as well. He's not like serious all the time. He's not all the time.
Character.
And he's been a good addition to the team.
And off the field as well, we've mentioned True Blue quite a lot on this. And obviously we mentioned the sponsorship, which is really important for us. But generally in the league, the attendance is going to be going up and up. We've been talking about all that kind of stuff. If you're getting that support from off the field as well, that kind of only spurs you on as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it definitely helps. Like, you know, we have the we were talking about this with Lucy O'Brien yesterday. What do we call them? The Ipswich Ultras, the ones that are there every game. When they were up in Newcastle the other week, travelled down to Southampton to get to the game. It just shows how committed some of these fans are. Even just a nice outing on a Sunday to take your kids to. I definitely think we're getting that exposure now. And it's great to see that they are wanting to come again, seeing more familiar faces. And I like to think we show our appreciation to the fans by winning games, putting on performance, and even just thanking them at the end. We can definitely go a long way and hopefully bring the fans back to more games.
What's the hope? So that we're going to keep talking about Southampton and then to April, I'm afraid, or both of you. But Kieran, what's the hope for the number for that? I mean, what can we tell you, are people listening, about how they can get involved, and what's your hope for the kind of rest of the campaign?
Yeah, I think in terms of hopes for the rest of the campaign, we've been growing the crowds consistently on a weekly basis. Obviously, yesterday was a little bit different, which was disappointing, but still the atmosphere for a crowd that was...
The best people turned up. All the right people were there. Yeah. That's the most important.
For almost a 50% reduction on the last league game, I think the crowd were magnificent yesterday in terms of noise. And we definitely felt that at Southampton. I think our little pocket of 40-odd at Southampton completely outdone the home crowd. And made it, you know, an intimidating environment for the home team. And you don't often see that. And I think we've got a very loyal group of supporters that travel home and away. I believe that they're close to selling out the minibus already for Wimbledon this weekend. So, like, it just shows, you know, the level of support we're getting. And I think, you know, I think our crowds on average are sort of between 350 and 400 at the minute. If we could push that up to 500, 600, 700, I think that would be great for a consistent basis. But in terms of that Southampton game, I'm ambitious in terms of that. Like, I want 1,500 to 2,000. I mean, the capacity of the Gold Star ground is 2,200. I don't see any reason why that couldn't sell out.
I want a four-figure number. I think that's...
Yeah, I think that's massively important. Obviously, there's going to be questions regarding Portland Road. I don't know. I'm not privy to that at this stage. I think that's going to come later in terms of a decision for that. But there's no reason why we couldn't get the Gold Star ground rocking for that Southampton game with four figures inside. I think that would be a very, very intimidating environment for Southampton to come into, and be great for us, and the girls would be so inspired playing in front of that, because I think that Norwich game a couple of years ago in front of 760 was phenomenal. And if you double that, I mean, wow, it's going to be incredible.
We'll end this pod talking about True Blue and giving the details where to find that. Laffy, this is a question that we hear a lot and see tweeted about quite a lot about Portman Road. Ignoring the kind of the decisions and politics maybe behind the scenes about whether that's possible, is that something that the girls want?
I think it would be a great experience for most of us girls. Most of us haven't played in it at all since we've been at the club. Only a few, like Tash, I think, has played in it, and maybe Eva. But yeah, I think playing there, wherever we play, we just have to play great football. I think the Felixstowe ground, playing every single game there, we had, like, would we want to change that? We've had a couple of thoughts about it as players. We want to change that, and then we think 2,000 at Portman Road to 2,000 at Felixstowe is going to be a completely different atmosphere. But yeah, I think either or, we'll put in a performance that we have to. So yeah, that'd be all right.
That's great.
I think it depends, isn't it? Because I think that obviously an atmosphere at Felixstowe with 1,500 to 2,000 would be absolutely phenomenal, and would be better than the atmosphere you probably get at Portman Road for a women's game. But you might get double the crowd at Portman Road. So it's kind of like swings and roundabouts, isn't it? You know, what's the best decision?
I'd like the Gold Star.
What I would say is we will get a game there at some point. I'm not sure.
Oh.
Probably likely into next season, I would say, is probably the most likely thing. But when that does happen, the occasion will be fantastic. And I think that could be a real showcase for what we're trying to do at this part of the football club.
100%. I mean, for what use it is, who I am, a nobody, I quite like the Gold Star ground because I can kick the advertising hoardings and make a big old racket when a goal goes in. And I think if you try and treat it as a one-off game, I think maybe it's just a bit of a distraction. And anyway, more there'll be people thinking about that and we can speculate. That's fine. Let's just finish off talking about the rest of the season, Afi, because we talked about FA Cup and probably too soon for you, but presumably you're hoping for a win against AFC Wimbledon, who are the league below Kieran, not again, remind me. Yeah, they are. So you are presumably hoping the girls do you a favour and get through there. And then it's going to be a tough game. Let's not dismiss Wimbledon, but you're presumably hoping for a bit of a cup run and maybe some exciting ties like you had a couple of years ago.
Yeah, 100%. We know it won't be an easy game. But again, we are looking to win that game and have another good cup run like we did before we got knocked out by Man City. But yeah, hopefully I won't be involved, I don't think, but you never know, I could. Just hoping that we get the 3 points and come home. Sorry, not the 3 points, it's a cup, isn't it? But yeah, go through to the next round anyway. We'll see in the day.
Fingers crossed. And yeah, I like maybe I will be there. Maybe I won't be there. Who knows? If you're watching AFC Wimbledon, you don't know. And looking ahead to the rest of the campaign as well, obviously, are there any particular targets that you set yourself? Obviously, a first team regular now. Anything about goals or assists or anything like that? Is it just making a contribution for you? What's your kind of thinking ahead? Obviously, the team goals are clear for everyone, but what are your personal aspirations for the rest of the season?
I think because I'm on set pieces now, I definitely want to get the most assists. And if I'm playing wing back or something like that, because Pest, she's still on 6 assists and I'm on 5 and she hasn't even been playing for a week. So I definitely want to smash her at that, where she might start talking about it. But yeah, I definitely want to add more goals to my game as well, even if I am playing as left back. Definitely something I want to do. But I don't try and set myself too many targets of... obviously, I want to play well in every game and start every game, but nothing too much because I don't want it to take over and I come too focused on that. So I have in the back of my mind a few things I want to achieve, but if I don't, it's not going to be the end of the world because I know I have next season and things like that to improve on. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah, great. Kieran, we've spoken and we've heard from a couple of the girls in these interviews and the stuff that Laffy's saying, level-headed, confident. I'm just a bit frankly surprised there aren't more people taking interest in what's going on at Gold Star and with the team, because there's so much great positivity there. And we talked about the style of play, but a team to be proud of. And obviously we're super proud of you, Laffy, here at Blue Monday, but the team, they deserve our attention and our support, don't they?
Absolutely. And there's been a ton of growth and there will continue to be a ton of growth. We know it's going to be something we're going to have to keep working on in terms of what can we do to attract people to come and watch us. I think the True Blue scheme has been a good thing. But ultimately, like, winning football is going to turn into more people coming through the gates on a Sunday. But and also a promotion to the Championship would be massive, I think. I think going to play in the second tier of women's football against some much bigger clubs, some much bigger names, that will ultimately translate into bigger crowds. And we've seen this season when we've played the name teams at the Gold Star ground, that's where the attendances have really gone up. So I think if you're playing the likes of Liverpool, Sheffield United, Blackburn, Charlton, you're going to get bigger crowds. So, yeah, I think it's still a work in progress. We're happy with where we're at the moment, but obviously we have ambitious targets of where we'd like to be at. And we just got to keep growing it. And we're grateful to the town fans for how they've embraced us so far. And hopefully we can continue to do the good work we have done so far. And then hopefully more will follow suit. And I think by doing things like this with yourself on Blue Monday and lots of other things like that, get us out there a little bit more, and ultimately that will translate into what we're looking for.
Tell us about True Blue and how folk can get involved in that.
Yeah, so True Blue is a membership scheme similar to a season ticket. It starts from £5 per month. You can pay more than that if you wish. And like I said, it's a way of you contributing towards the success of the women's program at Ipswich Town. Obviously, we're under, you know, we're trying to be self-sustainable as well as successful on the pitch. So it contributes towards that. But also, like I said, more importantly, over everything, it's essentially a season ticket for £5 a month. You get two games in a month. That's £2.50 per game. In January, for example, we've got Portsmouth, Hounslow and Gillingham at home. I mean, that's value for money, if you ask me. £5 to go to three games in throughout January. I think that's great. We've got quite a decent list of members so far. We're hoping to grow that. We're hoping to also name another player as a successor to Blue, as player ambassador as well for True Blue. So we'll be looking to drive that a lot more in the new year. And hopefully that will take off even further than it has done.
Great stuff. Kieran, thank you for that. Laffey, thank you so much for speaking to us. All the best for the recovery. I know it's only a minor knock, but all the best for that. And obviously for the season ahead as well. Hopefully you and Pescat, you'll sort yourselves out in terms of the home rotor and make sure that's nice and fair and no one's doing too much, because she's got her feet up at the moment. She's got to look after herself, hasn't she? After
of course she does. When doesn't she have her feet up though?
Oh, there we go.
Always does.
We'll leave it there then. Thank you so much for chatting to us, and all the best for the rest of the season.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.